It's Congressman Paul Tonko joining us on WVTL-FM. Well, let me start off by asking you about a local story. I mentioned this to your office. The recorder, I think, reported on it first, and we had some folks on from the Elwood Museum, Ann Piconi and Bob Going. Apparently, they are looking at using or coming into a lease agreement or some sort of agreement with the Noteworthy Corporation to use some of their buildings. I misunderstood what they were doing at first. At first I thought they were just going to have what was the Noteworthy Indian Museum, but there are other buildings that Noteworthy has they're not using on Church Street that could become the new home of the Elwood Museum. As somebody who's obviously an Amsterdam guy and you're interested in this sort of thing and you frequently talk about heritage tourism, what do you think?
Well, I think that the reuse of our old manufacturing buildings create a great sense of heritage expression. And the collection of the Walter Elwood Museum is a very significant one that speaks to the history of not only Amsterdam, but this region. And I think to house it in a center that inspires that sort of richness of our industrial communities, the former mill town, seems quite appropriate, Bob, and hopefully all of that can come together in a reasonable format that enables them to find a home that I think will host them in a very inspirational setting.
Okay. Now, on the national scene, if you will, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and we had Congressman Bill Owens on the other day and talked with him about this. John Boehner did this extensive interview with CBS, and I just use that as a touchstone mainly because I saw it, but you're hearing more of the framework of the criticism of President Obama and Boehner's argument as to why the Republican majority should be returned to the House of Representatives and a Republican president. In Boehner's view, he's saying Obama hasn't been cooperative in the past year, that the Obama proposal to tax the rich, the so-called Buffett rule, is divisive. And the Democrats, such as the president, and probably yourself, in his view, are not serious about cutting domestic entitlements. Your reaction?
It's interesting when you hear that. First, I understand that there was a bipartisan, bicameral agreement on getting some of this work done, and that Speaker Boehner had walked away from that agreement because he couldn't get it approved in his very controversial caucus. There is... I think less than harmony in that caucus because of the extreme thinking of some 80 to 85 members who are part of the freshman class. Beyond that, when they talk about shrinking or the bloat of government, the domestic programs, Bob, are those areas that have shrunk with our government. The increase has come for defense spending. The increase has come for tax cuts that have gone to very significant measurement dollar-wise for the very uppermost strata. And when you look at entitlement programs, especially during a recession, we have seen some shrinking of these programs that the cut right now, this week, watching the cuts made to the working poor, to programs that have been very strong for people, hunger and nutrition programs that go toward a number of people who have worked during the last year and now find themselves unemployed. I forget the stat, but it was an overwhelming majority of households that had someone working in the last year that now required nutrition assistance. That's being cut. All the programs that would speak to a lot of the efforts here at home have been cut. So their idea that these programs have grown in a bloated fashion is far from statistical data that are being released.
But Social Security hasn't really been cut, has it?
Social Security hasn't been cut. They have attempted to privatize it, and their proposal in this budget would voucher out Medicare and destroy Medicare as we know it. And they would reduce several programs even further than they have been reduced. These budgets have not been kind to those who are in need of assistance. And again, if a lot of households that have stumbled on hard times in the last year. These are not, you know, we try to sometimes, I think for the sake of their comfort zone, as they cut these things, they want to suggest that this has been long-term dependency on some of these programs where people have entered in the last year and are in need of that significant assistance. Mm.
What about the argument that raising taxes on the rich, you know, sort of inflames the passions and makes divides Americans between rich and poor, makes the wealthy?
Well, you know, the whole class warfare argument is somewhat ludicrous because we've had class warfare for the last decade. We have squeezed our middle class. We've asked them to pay for the cost of government. We have impacted them with tremendous costs that not fairly shared with the rest of this country. And when you saw the actions this week again, there was an abandonment of the middle class because they were looking to give some gross number of billionaires an average $58,000 tax relief with a bill that they were calling a small business bill. There was no income means test. There was a way to sneak in policy that further issues dollars for someone other than those in the middle class. The middle class has been paying. That class warfare argument is totally out of sync compared to what they've been doing over the last couple of years. They've been trying to relieve their buddies on the top of the ladder even more.
Back to more local, another local issue, the recovery from the flood. I don't know if you saw this in the morning Daily Gazette, Eddie Munger story that is just sad. Tools stolen from a recovery group down in Schoharie County. Schoharie County in your current district won't be in your future district, but the people came down to Washington from Schoharie High School. They won a science competition.
Yeah, it was a real flattering statement for the school system, Bob. Solve for Tomorrow, which has been a contest, national contest, run by Samsung, found the students from Schoharie doing extremely well. In fact, they finished first. The school was so proud. They came down to Washington to accept the award. We met with them and the folks from Samsung and the administrators and teachers who were involved. And a number of students from Schoharie came to town. They actually, for their project, and it's related to STEM, to the science, technology, engineering, and math career paths that we desperately need to grow. We need to encourage young people to enter those science and tech and engineering career efforts. But these students did soil testing, sampling, along the banks of the Schoharie Creek for testing for toxins, contaminants, as an aftermath of the storm. And I'm told that they received 114,000, I believe, votes in round numbers, mm-hmm. which was more than, I think, all of the runners-up combined. So they walked away with this competition. And again, it was a national competition, and folks, you know, from around the country got to look at what the students had done and cast their votes for who they thought showed the greatest focus on science and technology. And for that school system, which had to start school late this year because of the impact of the floods, and many of them are probably displaced from their homes, they really showed their resilience here. And they've been tested and have really responded in very courageous and determined fashion.
7:51 with Congressman Paul Tonko.